said it's not part of her lesson, but it is her ultimate favorite scripture. It's Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Without further ado, Sister Jerry Lynn Thurman.
Okay. Well, it's good to see you all. I see some new faces in here. And I am Sister Jerry Lynn Thilmany. I'm a youth leader in Findlay, Ohio, and my husband is Brother Josh Thilmany. He's the pastor, to those of you who do not know me. And last time I spoke here, I taught a lesson on me. It was my personal testimony, and told how that God brought me in to the church and how I was saved, and thank the Lord for that. And we were not meeting in this building. This is really a blessing. This is awesome. This place. This is the first time I'm in here. So when you're nervous and you're envisioning yourself, you're thinking, you know, I was thinking I would be in that one room, but that's okay. Just recalculate. But at the end of my, I move around a lot. I'm sorry. It's just me. My nerves. The end of the last lesson, my testimony, I mentioned about smiling, and I mentioned how that can be a ministry, especially in this world today. Not many people smile, if you notice. I've noticed when you go out smiling, you know, little kids, some of them, I'm serious, they just stare at you. They can't believe you're smiling or something. I'm like, what has happened in that child's life? You know, just no one smile at them. But it is a ministry, and I hope you all have worked on it. And if you have any success stories, I would love to hear it. Well, even if it wasn't real successful, I mean, maybe somebody stuck their tongue out at you. I don't know. But yeah, that would be interesting. But I spoke about me last time, and this time the thought on my heart is about you, and to tell you how valuable each one of you are. And so when you teach a lesson, those of you who have taught, you know you want to make sure that you've got the right lesson. You're not just getting up to talk or be seen. And so I was praying a lot about it. Had a couple thoughts. Had this one as the main one. And when I came here for the service, for the morning service, I'm going to end up falling down in front of all you on this one. But in front of, or when I got to the service, Brother Burton was preaching this morning, and some of the things he said confirmed my thoughts for tonight. And I was like, thank you, God. But he kept preaching so many of them, I was like, I wonder if I should just stand up and say, all right, let's all stand and start invitation. So he went and preached my whole lesson. So anyways, some of his thoughts, it confirmed it. And then I'd love to hear Brother Reggie speak. And I don't always get over there in the afternoon, but I'd love to hear him speak. And I went to go over and I thought, I wonder if maybe he'll say something that would confirm it too. And he did. So I was like, okay. It's just me and my mouth because I run 90 miles a minute and I talk a lot. So I got to make sure I get you guys out at the right time. So, what I wanted to talk about is you. Every single one of you. If this was our youth class, I would go around the room and I would say every one of your names, but we're not going to do that. Our youth class is not this large. As a matter of fact, our youth class, we have 12 to marry. That's what we have. And I thought about that before because teaching that range is a little bit hard, do you think, sometimes? You know, you got the older kids who want a little bit more seriousness. And, you know, they're all grown up and more mature, hopefully. And then you've got the little kids who are all over the place, and they want something fun, you know, interesting and stuff. So a wide range. But recently I realized, and I was very thankful, that with our older kids that are adults in the class, we have one girl who's very good about bringing kids to church. She's very good about getting them to come. And then we have a young kid who is 12 and all over the place. And he's good about bringing kids to church. So you never know from Sunday to Sunday exactly who's going to be in the class. Sometimes it's the same ones, but anyhow, that's the way our youth class is. But every single one of you are valuable. And I want to say, congratulations. If you are alive and you are sitting in these chairs, congratulations that you made it. Because to start the lesson out, I want to talk to you because millions of people have not made it. They have not made it to live on this earth. According to the Guttmacher Institute report, across 50 states, America alone, 930,160 abortions were performed in 2020. So, I'm not good at estimating, but say the whole church for winter camp meeting, maybe we have maybe 300. Would you say maybe more? About 300. Let's just say that. I'm not good at guessing. So, if we had, say, 300 people in the church house during the service, and you blink and they're gone, that's 300 people, they're gone. If you did that 3,100.5 times, that's how many people died from abortion within 1 year in America in 2020. So, the world says, because it's definitely not God's voice, that we need to eliminate this obstacle, this responsibility, and this mistake from our lives if we do not want this child. Get rid of it. And there's so many mothers, fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers that decide to eliminate their son or daughter before they can even take their first breath. We do not want that responsibility at all. So they take that child's life and get rid of it. So what I'm saying to you, and that's horrible, what I'm saying to you is, congratulations, you all made it. And you're alive and living and you're sitting here tonight. So because now that you have made it, the world didn't care if you did make it, but because you made it, now there's a little different voice with them. They take on a different voice, and they realize your value. You are all valuable to them because they want you to buy their products. This is how you should think. This is how you should look and act, and this should be your views. Never choose that. And always be yourself and speak out unless it's not what we think. Otherwise, be original. Just don't cause any ripple. So now you become valuable to the world. And as you grow, as you guys probably, this is a youth class, as you grow, you are already bombarded with views and ideas, products. You probably went from Carter's or Gerber up to, I don't know, Nike. What's some of the latest brands? Okay. So, yeah, okay. So you're bombarded with all these views and ideas, these products, all these facts, opinions, the effects of your environment, whether that's your home, your school, your work, your entertainment, or your friends. And it makes you into who you are, good or bad. It makes you into who you are. Whether it's pure or evil influences, good or bad, it makes you into who you are. My kids influence me. I don't know. Some of you guys know my kids. My kids are crazy. But, and I just remember Jason's here. My kids actually influenced me a few years ago to start using my phone to look up phone numbers instead of the phone book. Okay, so that's a good one. So sometimes they influence me in the right way. But recently at a family get-together we were having, they looked at me, was having this discussion with one another, and looked at me and said, "Hey, Mom, how many push-ups can you do?" And so I answered them, well, of course, all of them has this look of unbelief on their face, which offended me. And my honor was
is at stake? And I'm like,
So one of them said, well, do 10. I was like, well, I couldn't do the 25 I said I could do right then because I was really tired. I'd worked all day on that party, right? So they said 10, so I did it. I held my own. I was able to do that. Boy push-ups, not the girl ones on the knees. I was so glad I made it to that 10th one. Did very well. And the next day, they do not know this, but they will now. I was so sore. Oh, my goodness. But I made it. I kept my honor. But moving on, one of the points that I wanted to make is you have all kinds of influences in your life. All of you influence each other. Even just you being here, it's an influence. Oh, wow, we've got so many people here. Well, what if half of you decided not to come? We all have an influence on each other. Some and as I said, some are bad, and some kids cannot handle these pressures and being bombarded and constantly all the problems that come up. They can't handle them, and they have no one beside them to turn to, and they want to end their life on this earth. They don't want to live anymore because they have no one. And Brother Brian Bush, in the August Trumpeter of this year, he said in his lesson that approximately 132 people a day commit suicide. So that's a third of the blinks of the amount of people that come to church. 132 people. That's, I'm not good, but that's probably all of us and some. So that many people a day. So I looked it up, not because I doubted him, but I was like, if I'm going to say it, I better make sure I read it too. But I looked it up, and it also said suicide is the third leading cause of death for 15 to 24-year-old Americans. And that's a problem, the third leading a cause of death. So thank God that Jesus is here to calm our storms right. And rescue us.
Amen.
When I think of this, do you remember Peter walking on the water? And how he called out to Jesus and he reached out to him and Jesus immediately helped him. And that is what's going to help us, our friends, and our families is Jesus. Jesus is the answer. And we hear that all the time, don't we?
Right.
But do we try him personally? Do we know that personally that Jesus really will? It's not just a cliche. He really will help us no matter what it is. I was thinking about, you know, when Jesus was walking on the water around that boat, the people in the boat doubted that it was Jesus. They thought that it was a spirit. And so so he's walking out there, and they're all fearful and everything. And they cried out. And he says, be of good cheer, it's me. You know, he's telling them, be of good cheer, it's me. And Peter says, Lord, if it's you, have me come out to you. So Peter gets out on the water, and he starts walking, and then he starts looking down at the water, gets fearful, and he starts to sink. And then he cried out to Jesus. Jesus immediately grabs him. Okay, we know this story. So Jesus helped him. And I thought, because I just like to really think, I thought, what if all the people in the boat had faith and were not doubting? And we're not, you know, worried about anything when Peter did that. Think about that. So I believe it was his disciples. So I would say you probably got the 12 disciples in there, right? So Peter says, Jesus, tell me to come to you if it's you. And he goes to get out. And Andrew's like, hey, John, Peter's going to walk on the water. Look at him. He's walking on the water. Can you imagine? Just imagine that in your mind. He was in that boat. And wouldn't it have been different if they would have just been encouraging, all right, Peter, go. And then when they saw Peter look down at the water, they're like, uh-oh. You know, they saw the look on his face, and they're like, uh-oh. And they just say, hey, Peter. And he stops and he listens. They say, run! Run! and did not doubt that it was Jesus and that it was just a spirit, if they would have just encouraged him on. And if we could just do that with our friends, that Jesus is reaching out for you and he is real. He is real. And they just, and we just get them to run. Don't look down. Don't look down, Peter. Don't drown. What if Peter wouldn't have called out for Jesus? What if he wouldn't have said, "Jesus, help me"? Well, he'd have been a goner, right? Because, I mean, they were toiling and all that in the boat. There was a big storm and all that. So thank God that Jesus, we have Jesus to help us. And it's for real. And the older you get, the more you see that. And you can ask him for anything. But when you go along life and you have all these influences and these things bombarding you, if you don't like the way your life's going, change it. Do something different. Don't keep doing the same thing over and over. Nothing's going to change. Change it if you want something better. I remember my husband went to visit a man who was in jail. And this guy was in jail all the time. He gets into drugs, gets into trouble. And he tries to get free, you know, get on meth, and he's so messed up. And he'll sometimes, you know, be sorry about how his life was. But Josh went to visit him in jail. And the guy told him, says, "Josh, you can't help me." Now, for crying out loud, he's telling this to a preacher. And I thought, I was not there, because I'm glad I was not there. Because I don't know, I know this guy from when he's younger. I might would have been tempted to say, "Well, not so smart person at this moment. That is not a good thing to say to a preacher. You have never tried Jesus," because from the time he was 14 years old, he wanted to go his own way. Anything his parents told him, he wanted to do the opposite. So this is a life path that he chose. We don't choose our consequences sometimes. But this is the way he chose. And I thought, try it. Try Jesus. And I've even thought about maybe sending him a letter someday, because he's back in there again, and talking to him about that. But we have Jesus. You can go to Jesus for if somebody does something wrong against you. I don't know if all y'all was in there with Brother Burton's message, but the reason why he could preach all that about love and how we react to things is because it's true. We all have our stuff going on. It doesn't matter how old we are, whether it's as young as you or older, like me. 53 years old. You hear somebody said something about me, you know, something about you, it hurts, it stings, it offends, and you have to deal with it. And all of our personalities are different. Maybe some of you all don't have a problem as much with that, but I personally do. I don't like it if somebody lies and says something about me that's not true. And it makes me react. And we can react. God gave us emotions. We can react, but it's how we react. We have to be careful about that. And I think, well, would they say that about me for? Did they really say that? Are you serious? They would say that about me? And even if you're not talking to another person, you have all this battle going on in your mind. They said that? Would they say that for, that little brat? I didn't do that. Why would they do that? And go tell people. And then it works on you. It works on you. Maybe it works on you half a day. And it works on you a whole day. And it works on you, if you let it go, it can go a week. It could go years. There are families, I cannot believe. Our family, we would fight and wrestle and all kinds of stuff like that. But we loved one another. That sounds really funny. But we loved one another. But there are families that go years and will not speak to each other. Will not check on each other, anything like that. And I'm like, how can you do that? But it's because they let things get to them, and it builds up, and it builds up, and they don't take care of it. And as Christians, we're supposed to forgive, and we're supposed to let go. And sometimes you just don't feel like it. Right. You just don't feel like it, especially when you're right in the battle, and you're like, "God, you saw what that brat did to me. You heard what they said. you know what? This is what I would do. And that's what you're praying. You got all this stuff going in your mind. And you know good and well when you're coming to God, you need to calm down. they did this to me, and Lord, I am so upset. I am so upset right now. I need you. I need your grace right now, Lord, because I do not know what I'm going to say. And of course, you maybe shouldn't say anything at all. You're like that. And you pray for that grace, and you ask for it. And the Lord will calm you down.
Yeah.
He will speak to you.
So
if you really want that, and if you're on your knees, I assume you do. If you really want that, he will say, I will take care of it. Walk this way. Go this way. This is the way to go. You can't do that as a Christian. You cannot write them that letter or make that phone call like that. Don't do it. And he'll help you through that. And he'll work with you, and he'll work with you until you realize he's got your back. He told you it's not your revenge, it's his revenge. And this is your seed, this is your water that you were walking on, and you were doing just fine until that little brat spoke up and gave you a storm to look at. And if you keep looking at the storm, you're going to drown. But if you look to Jesus and you keep walking, and that's what your youth leaders and your preachers do, is encourage you to run. Run to Jesus. He's right there, and he will help you if you cry out. And it may take a long time, but you can tell a difference as you go. You can tell a difference. And you can tell, he'll let you know when you've forgiven somebody. And even if they never change, you can. So God can make a way and calm that storm. And oh, wow, I am talking too much. Okay. So I haven't even got to my last picture yet. This is number 4. So all of these experiences and all of these pressures and influences in your life are what shaped you into who you are. And it's the stories that got you here. And believe it or not, I said all that to get to this point. I wanted to tell you guys, and you will have good or bad, and I have 3 scriptures that I want to read you about the bad things that's happened in your lives. Okay, in Matthew 18:6, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Verse 10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. 3:14, number 3, verse 14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. All the bad things that has happened in your life is not what God wanted for your life. No matter what it is, that was not what God wanted. He does not want evil for your life. And I just read it. Jesus wasn't messing around. He said, you offend one of those little ones, it's better for you that you were hanged and drowned. He was not messing around here. He didn't. The evil that's happened in your life, God loves you. You are valuable to God. You are valuable to the church body. The people in the church love you. And God wants you to move forward. And my lesson is about your story, about you all. When I got up here the last time and I talked about me, my testimony, that's part of my story. And you all have parts of your story also. I just asked you guys if any of you guys maybe did the smile thing. If you did or if you didn't, that's part of your story too. We all have stories. And we have plenty of stories in our lives. We have memories. We have stepping stones in our lives. Maybe you've kept things to remind you of something that makes you happy, or you've kept something to remember somebody. Maybe it's a sad occasion, but something sweet to you. And we need to share our stories. But before I say all of that, one of the top rules of social etiquette is to ask others about themselves. And I know I talk a lot, but I try. I try to ask people about themselves too. If you always, always talk about yourself, just like Brother Burton said this morning, if you always talk about yourself, your plans, your dreams, your problems, your accomplishments, you are socially inept. You're without skill on social etiquette. We need to work on this.
Right.
Now, if you see a friend you haven't seen for years and you're talking all over each other, you know, trying to get everything, you know, this is what I've been doing, what have you been doing, you know, and all that kind of stuff, that's not what I'm talking about. But if you're one of those people who have to have all the attention, all the stage, all the time, all the time, all the time, you need to work on it. But on the other hand, we're all important, and we need to share our story. And when I realized this, when God touched my heart with this thought, I started having our youth class, like three a service, start getting up and telling something about their life. It didn't even have to be something that had to do with the church. Just share something about your life. Maybe what you did that day. Maybe something that you like. Say, just share a little bit, and I'll tell you why we need to start doing that. Some of us are shy. I am not shy. I can be shy. People don't believe that, but I can be. But some of us are shy, and some of us are not, you know. But we all need to share our stories because it exercises us to be able to share our story of Jesus in our heart. If we get used to talking about things in our life or what's going on or asking people about themselves, then it will help us to be able to share about Jesus. And Revelations 12:11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, right. And they loved not their lives unto the death."
Right.
So we all, if we are a believer and a child of God, we all have a testimony. And that is part of our story. So I wanted to come and talk about you. And although I don't know all the stories about you all, and I love to laugh, I can't tell any of your fun stories because I don't know them. You would have to come up here and tell them. So, but I love to have a good time. And I know this started out serious, but I want you to realize how valuable you are. You are worth something. You are loved, every one of you. And we have been around troubled people, troubled kids. And in this day and time, people really need to know what love is, like Brother Burton said.
Right.
We really need to let them know what love is. And if you have not experienced God's story, His saving grace, He wants to be a part of your story and of your life. And He'll calm all of those troubled waters of your soul that you bring to Him. Those everyday problems. God doesn't want anyone messing with His children. Read your Bible, pray, and smile because God's got your back. I read you scriptures. God doesn't want anyone messing with His children. So that is my lesson for tonight. I was a bag of nerves about teaching tonight, and I just all of a sudden this evening, I just felt like this peace come over me. I thought, well, somebody's praying for me. So whoever did, thank you. I appreciate it. But that's my lesson.